Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
I am honored to be up here tonight. And anytime I get to stand behind a pulpit, I always say that because this is a privilege, it's an honor, it's an opportunity, and I'm always thankful for it. And I just want to say God is faithful, God is good, and God is loving, and He is kind, and I can't thank Him enough for just being able to be a part of this tonight and be able to share with you my heart. I just very quickly want to give you, I guess, an autobiography of myself, and then I'm going to roll this into what we're going to talk about tonight, okay? But when I was 18 years old, I was 2 weeks from graduating high school and had no idea what I wanted to do in my life. I was scared to death, but one thing I did know is I wanted to be saved. So in my living room floor with my parents present, my pastor at that time, I accepted the Lord into my life. I believed, but I hadn't started following yet, okay? At 19, I know that the Lord began to call me into something. And I was scared to death of that, okay? Because I knew what it was. He wanted me to preach. And if you don't know me or knew me back then, I did not stand in front of people and talk. I just didn't. I was a shy guy. In high school, I would take an F to keep from having to get up and quote Romeo and Juliet. I just was not going to do it. And I kept saying, Lord, you got the wrong guy. I still believed in him, but I wasn't following him. And so for 20 years of my life, I ran from this thing. I didn't understand it. I didn't know what it was about. I didn't know what God was really wanting me to do. But it was I lived a life of me. I wanted to do what Kevin wanted to do. So later on, I moved to Auburn, lived there for about 10 years. And it was while I was there, I kind of drifted. Has anybody in here ever drifted? You know, did your own thing? And I lived a prodigal life. I'm just going to be honest with you. I did things that were not good. I didn't go to jail or anything like that, but I just lived what Kevin wanted to live. And it cost me a lot of pain later on in life. But at 39, I rededicated my life, met the woman of my dreams, the woman that I had prayed for a long time. And we got married. And at 40, we were attending church, the church that we attended, and I walked in one Sunday morning, and there was 10 young people in that church, and they were just scattered. One was over here, one was over here, one was over here. They were just scattered all over the place, and they just looked so discouraged and so beat down and so lost. Not that they were lost, they were searching for something. And I still remember to this day Mindy and Dusty and Sarah and Chipper and Jacob and Kyle and Brandon and Whitney and Paige and Jordan. I remember them just like it was yesterday. And I remember looking at them thinking, Lord, what are you showing me here? And He said, I want you to guide them, lead them, and feed them. And I said, Lord, you don't know what you're asking. You know, I wanted to bargain with Him. So I remember after church that Sunday morning, we went to Wendy's to eat. There was a Wendy's here in Fort Payne, if y'all can believe that. But we were sitting at the table, and Heather got up to go get some napkins or something. And while she was gone, this overwhelming feeling just hit me, and tears just began to run down my face because all I could think about were those kids. So for 2 weeks after I told her what it was, she said, honey, you got to do what God's calling you to do. And I know what He was calling me to do. He was calling me to preach and work in youth ministry. And I just wasn't having it. But I'm going to tell y'all, for 2 weeks, I was miserable. I was a wreck. Every day, this was something that I thought about for 2 weeks. And so one Saturday morning, Heather was working. I think she had a photo shoot, and I was at home by myself. And I remember I got up, and I was going to paint the front porch that morning. And, I mean, it just would not leave me. And the Lord was just knocking on my door. I still believe, but I still hadn't followed yet, okay? We're going somewhere, okay? So anyway, I called a pastor friend of mine from Anniston. He was a young, I don't want to say he was young. He was 2 years younger than I was, but he was a pastor of a church, but for 20 years, he ran from his calling as well, and here he was pastoring a church in Anniston, Alabama. And I called him, and I said, "Hey, Greg," I said, and I told him what was going on with me. And, of course, he just encouraged me, and he said, "You got one option, and that's to say yes." He said, you're running just like I did. And, of course, he said a lot of other encouraging things to me. And so I went on outside after I got off the phone with him, and I started to paint. Tears just running down my face. And I remember dipping in the paint, and I started stroking, and I dropped that brush and hit my knees. And it was at that moment I was no longer just believing, but I was following, okay? And I said yes to the Lord. And so for the next 20 or more years, we worked with youth groups. We were in children's ministry for 3 years. And I'm going to tell y'all, that was the most rewarding time of my life. And often I've thought about those 20 years that I didn't do it, that I ran from it, and of all the things I missed. But, you know, I believed and followed for the first time in my life. And I believe that those two words have to go together. And I'm going to share in a minute what I mean by that, but you know, I never went to school. I never went to seminary. I never had a desire or an opportunity, I guess. I could have chosen to have done that. All of my seminary was right here. Because I loved God that much that I wanted to do what he wanted me to do. And I loved the kids enough that it was all right here in my heart. I wanted to share what God had done in my life. I wanted to share it with them. I wanted them to know about it. And I've always said, you know, it's just like me dressing up tonight. Somebody said a while ago and I'm just going to brag a little bit. They said I look good. You know, that I don't normally dress like this on Wednesday night. I'm a little more casual, a little more comfortable. But, you know, I have an audience of one. And that's Jesus himself. And that's the only one I want to impress with in my life. And I want to give him my life. But it wasn't until I said no to myself that I was able to say yes to him. And I want y'all to hear that tonight. It's not till we say no to ourselves that we can say yes to him. But anyway, that was the Reader's Digest version of my life. I've got two passages of scripture I want to read to you tonight. And I want to preach to you something that I've entitled Passionate Pursuit. Okay? I want to go back to the beginning. Well, I want to go back to November. The Lord really impressed on me at that time. And in a few minutes, I'm going to be talking about something that took place right before that got me to this place. But he started to impress on me about my pursuit of him. My pursuit of his presence. And I have a folder at home of, well, actually it's two folders, not bragging in this. It's a lot of writing, a lot of notes that I took, a lot of messages that I did. But I've got two folders at home that are this thick with old notes of lessons and messages and things that I did. Well, back in November of this past year, I had that thought of my pursuit. Because I had repented of something, and I'm trying not to get too ahead of myself, but I had repented of something back in the summer. So in November, that thought of passionate pursuit was just heavy on my mind. So I went home, and I found a message that I did a long time ago called Passionate Pursuit. And I pulled those notes out. I just felt like I needed to pull those notes out. I didn't know why. I didn't know what was the purpose of this. But it was heavy on me that I needed to be passionate in my pursuit of Jesus again. Because I'd lost something. I had lost some power. I had lost some fire. And I wanted it back. I would tell my wife so many times, I just want to be back to where I was. But I didn't want to just be back to where I was. I wanted to be one step higher than where I was. So I pulled these notes out. I read through them. I smiled. I laughed. I cried. And I left them on my dresser from November to now. Okay? And I would, every now and then, I would go by and I would just read them. I would just flip through these notes. And never knew why. The first Sunday that we come in here for New Year's, right after New Year's, Pastor Madison was praying that Sunday morning. And I remember the prayer just like it was yesterday. But she prayed that this body would be a body of pursuers of the presence. That we would be passionate in our pursuit. And all I could do was smile. And I thought, wow, you know what? And then Pastor Spencer asked me if I would preach tonight, and I just couldn't escape this, because I want you to know that our pastors that I love dearly, that I have so much respect for, I love the fact that we have pastors that want to push us and invite us to pursue the presence of Jesus Christ, that to want us to go deeper, to encourage us to go deeper. And I want us to think about that tonight. And I want us to really go after that. Okay? And I know that that's what he wanted me to talk about tonight, as a passionate pursuit. So we're going to dive in. And if you want to know if I'm nervous tonight, yes. It's been a while. Okay, but my wife told me before she came tonight, it's just like riding a bike. You know, do it just like you've always done it, and you're going to be fine. Keep in mind, I never wanted to speak in front of people, but here I am, okay? But let's look at the scripture. We're going to start with Luke chapter 9. I'm going to go ahead and tell you, my family knows this. All my friends know this. This is my favorite scripture in the Bible. Why? I do not know, but it is. But Luke 9:23. Okay? I think it's my favorite because this passage of scripture wrecked my life, okay? It changed me. Luke 9:23, it says, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." A great invitation, okay? If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. And then my other passage of scripture, which is what we're going to hone in on tonight, is Matthew 13, verse 44. Give me just a second here. I decided to screenshot these scriptures tonight because, number one, the lettering is bigger and I can see it better. The only problem is I don't know how to operate a phone. All right. Matthew 13:44, it says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys the field." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this opportunity tonight, and I thank you, Lord, I just want to be used, and I just want you to pour me out tonight. I want you to pour out the words that you've laid on my heart, and I just want you to open us up tonight. Let us be sponges tonight. Let us absorb and take in what it is that you want to show us tonight. Lord, let us be passionate for you. Let us get our fire back if we've lost it. Let us get our desire back if we need to get that back, Lord. Whatever it may be, Lord, let us do it tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, how many of you in here has ever been in love? Anybody? I know you married people better be raising your hand. Okay? All right, we all remember when the first time we started thinking about the opposite sex, right? And don't anybody get worried. We're not, you know, this is going to be fun. We know or knew that there was a difference between boys and girls. We know that boys and girls were supposed to like each other. And our first thought of the opposite sex, and I'm just going to be honest, was, ooh, they're gross, right? We were afraid if we got close, if a boy got close to a girl or a girl got close to a boy, we were going to get germs and cooties, so we tried to stay away from each other. And that's the way it was with me when I was young. And when I say young, I'm talking 5, 6, in that area, okay? But as you got older, you started to be attracted to these gross creatures, all right? You felt something, you didn't know what it was, but something was different, okay? And as you got even older, you found that you were attracted to them, but not only that, you wanted to spend more time with them, right? Do y'all remember that? And that's the way it was. Jesus' invitation to follow him in Luke 9:23 will make sense to the follower and to the pursuer, but not to the average person. You see, in that scripture, Jesus defines the relationship that he wants with us. He makes it very clear what it means to be a follower and a pursuer of him. And what I love about this scripture is it starts off by saying, if anyone. That is an invitation for every individual. It doesn't matter how young you are, how old you are, where you've been, what you've done, how short you are, how tall you are, how pretty or ugly you are, which nobody in here is ugly, except for me. But listen, that invitation is open to anybody, anyone, if anyone would come after me. All he has to do is deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow. That's what I love about that invitation. And Jesus is telling us what it means to be a follower here. The words I want us to look at tonight are the words come after. When you think about the word come after, you think automatically of following something or pursuing something. To follow. Pursue means to follow in order to catch something or to continue after something. In other words, you're chasing it. You're wanting to be with it. You're wanting to grow closer to it. And it's a phrase that is used in the same context as that of a romantic relationship. You see, when Jesus says come after, he's describing a passionate pursuit of someone you love. To pursue love. And I really want you to get this definition of this. To pursue love means to intentionally show interest, get to know, connect with, or build a relationship with. That's what Jesus wants from us. He wants us to show interest in him. He wants us to get to know him. He wants us to connect to him or build a relationship with him. That's love. That's pursuing love. So the best way to understand what Jesus is wanting from us as followers or pursuers is to compare how we would pursue someone that we want to have a romantic relationship with or to be in love with. I'm going to tell y'all, I want to be in love with Jesus. That is my daily desire, is to love him with everything within me. And that should be the desire of each and every one of us. Most of us have done probably some crazy, unusual things in our pursuit of someone we love or want to have a relationship with. It's a pursuit that will cause you to almost go crazy by consuming your thoughts, your money. I don't want to ask you guys how many of y'all's lost money since you got married. I'm just playing. All right, listen. When you're in love, you can't eat. You can't sleep. It changes everything. The game plan is different, okay? And that's what happens when you're pursuing a romantic relationship with somebody. It's different. And this day and time, the relationship that people tend to be the most passionate about pursuing is a romantic relationship. That used to drive me crazy as a youth pastor, is when one of my kids would start dating somebody, everything was different. Okay? It just, their whole thinking just boom, went out the window. And that's what happens when you fall in love. You just don't think straight no more. What if we, when it come to our relationship with Jesus, we did that? It just changed our whole way of thinking. Our whole way of thinking about Him and our relationship with Him. You see, we have books that tell us how to pursue love. We've seen movies where the plot deals with romance, and there's been songs even written about love. How many of you have ever heard of a love song? We've all heard them. Many years ago, a guy by the name of Meatloaf. How many of you have ever heard of a guy named Meatloaf? Okay, there's one person back there. Thank you. But anyway, he did a song called I'd Do Anything for Love, and he talks about the crazy things that he would do and just how far he would go to pursue the love of his life. You see, pursuing love will make you do some crazy things. It will cause you to lose your mind. What if we lost our mind for Jesus? What if we loved Him so much that that's all we thought about? My wife's going to kill me. Y'all save me after this is over with, okay? We've all done crazy things when it comes to our relationships. Now keep in mind, to pursue love means to show interest in, get to know, spend time with, or connect with, or build a relationship with. When I began pursuing Heather, I would like to think she pursued me, but that ain't the case, okay? I pursued her. I did some crazy things. You know, I went to Olive Garden for the first time. She mentioned to me that she loved Olive Garden. So I thought, this will be an opportunity for me to get to know her. This will be an opportunity for us to get to spend some time together. This will be an opportunity to connect with her. You know, because y'all just wasn't there. Y'all, I could tell y'all how hard it was, but you would not believe me. This woman was, she was the straight and the narrow. I'm telling you, she did not bend. But anyway, she mentioned she liked Olive Garden. So I came up with this idea. All right, I'll invite her to Olive Garden. Let's go to Olive Garden. The only Olive Garden close by was Chattanooga. So she agrees. But she pops in and says, only if my sister goes with us. So in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, I can live with that. Sister sits in the back seat. Heather's in the front seat. Me and her can talk, get to know each other. No, when I went to pick her up, she puts her in the back seat and puts the sister up front with me. But I was willing to do that because I wanted to spend time with her. I wanted to get to know her. Another thing is I love ice cream. I love ice cream and Chinese food. That's the two things I could survive on. I love ice cream. Every Sunday night after church, I would invite her to go get an ice cream with me, and the woman would not get in the car with me. Just wouldn't have it. She said she would follow me, and I just wasn't having that, okay? But anyway, one Sunday night, she agrees only if, she agrees to go with me only if we would go get a snow cone. Guys, snow cones and ice cream are not the same. But I was willing to go if it meant getting to know her a little bit, getting to spend time with her. I was willing to do whatever it took. She would invite me to come to church with her. Now, this is the strangest of strange. She invited me to come to church. This is when we first started. but I could only sit. I could sit on the same row with her. I just couldn't sit beside her. I had to sit away from her, but I was willing to do whatever it took to spend time with her. Why am I telling y'all all this? What are we willing to do to spend time with Jesus? What are we willing to lay aside? What are we willing to sacrifice? What, you know, I remember times in early on in my relationship with Jesus after I began to follow him that I did some crazy things for him too. I would get my Bible on my lunch break and go to the city park and sit on a pew or a bench, read the Word of God and just weep because I loved him that much and I just wanted so much of him and I just wanted to spend time with him. I had a room at home that I would, and these are normal things that we should do every day. But back then, to me, it was crazy because I loved him that much. But I would go into a room that we had at home. It was our office. And just bury my face in the floor for hours on hours because I just wanted to be in his presence. I would come home from work and sit in my recliner and just weep because I wanted to spend so much time with him. That's how much I loved him. And those are to some would be crazy love stories, but it actually should be normal, right? You see, followers should have crazy love stories, some come after stories that make people say, that's crazy. And people don't think about their relationship with Jesus that way sometimes because following him to them is more of a weekend thing. I want more than that. I don't want it just to be Sunday. I want it to be every minute, 25-8, 25 hours a day, eight days a week, above and beyond. That's what I want with my relationship with Jesus. I want all of him. You see, a lot of people don't get carried away with their relationship with Jesus, but that's not how Jesus defined the relationship that he wants with us. He wants us to know and understand that following him is a pursuit that should take everything we have. Everything. In the scripture that I read you in Matthew 13:44, it's called the parable of the hidden treasure. And this paints a picture of what Jesus had in mind when he invited us to come after him. He tells about a man that was plowing a field. You see, back in those days, there was no PNC Bank, there was no Regions Bank, there was no First State Bank. People didn't have nowhere to put their life savings, their belongings. There weren't no safety deposit boxes. There weren't no vaults. So people had to take their belongings, their valuables, and put them in a box and bury them in the ground. And it was not unusual, after that person buried them in the ground, they went off to war and got killed. So therefore, the treasure was forgotten about. So this man is plowing along, and all of a sudden, boom, he hits something. And he gets down, and he digs it up, and he finds this box. And he dusts it off, opens the lid, and wow, there's a fortune in it. He can't believe it. His heart begins to pound. Now imagine if you were mowing your yard and you come across something like that. You found somebody's jars of money or something like that. Your heart's going to race. You're going to begin to sweat. And first thing you're going to do is look around to see if anybody saw you dig it up. And that's probably what this man did. But anyway, he reburies it and he continues to work. Now, his once straight rows that he was plowing, I'm sure by this time, are getting off because he's looking over his shoulder at what he had just found. He cannot believe it. So in his mind, he begins to think, what can I do to have this field? What am I going to have to part with in order to have this thing? So he goes home and he decides to sell everything, his house, his oxen, his car, and his friends and family begin to talk about him because they think he's lost his mind. It doesn't make sense to them, but to him, it's a good investment. To him, it means everything. You see, I've been in that place where people thought I was crazy. People didn't understand why I would raise money and jump on a plane and go to a foreign country to share Jesus with somebody that didn't know who Jesus was. People didn't understand that. People didn't understand why I would get in my car with a group of people and we'd go to Walmart and pray for people. People didn't understand that. You're crazy. But, dude, that's normal. For a pursuer and follower of Jesus, that's normal stuff. People didn't understand when Heather and myself left a good ministry to go help somebody plant a church. They didn't understand that. We knew everybody at the church we were at, but we went and helped somebody that we didn't know anybody because we felt like God was telling us to go there. And people thought we were crazy. We lost friends. We lost relationships. But you know what? Jesus is more important. It didn't matter. Because it didn't make sense to them, but it was a good investment to us because it was doing what God wanted us to do. So how much was this treasure worth, you might ask? This treasure was priceless. It had such a value that to this man it was worth selling everything to have it. Do we look at Jesus that way? Guys, I'm just giving us something to think about tonight, okay? This is something we all already know, but just something to think about. You see, this treasure, we don't have to worry about what amount was in the box. What we need to look at is this treasure symbolizes the worth of Jesus and his kingdom. That's what it's about. You see, this man knew the value of the treasure when he found it. The kingdom and knowing God intimately is more valuable than anything else that we can have, and a person must be willing to give up everything, if that's what it takes, to have it. Everything. You see, when we discover the life that we can have with Jesus, we are to come after him with the same passion that this man pursued this hidden treasure. But there's going to be so many people that's going to say, I'm just not going to get carried away like that. Followers and pursuers understand that following Jesus is a pursuit that's going to cost you everything, but man, it is a good investment. It's worth it. I will tell you, I will stand here all day and tell you. Now, I lived a prodigal life early on, but later, I wouldn't take anything else for what I lived and what I saw and what I've done because it's been worth it. It has been worth every ounce of pain, every ounce of doing without, everything that I sacrificed, it was every bit of it was worth it. Okay? I will tell you that. And I will always stand on that. Followers and pursuers will do some crazy things for his love, but many people are going to play it safe. Many people will say, and you know, that if they're afraid if they go all in, they're going to miss out on something in this life. And guys, I'm just going to tell you, there's nothing in his life that's worth missing out on Jesus and missing out on spending time with him and getting to know him. A lot of people want what's available without having to sacrifice for it. And I did that once in my life. You see, instead of come after, sometimes people hold back. And it's not that they don't want a relationship with Jesus. They do. They just don't want it to cost them very much. But this man knew that this treasure was worth all that he had. And to the follower of Jesus in pursuit of him, it needs to be worth all that we have. That's the value of it. You see, a lot of people will say, I'll follow Jesus as long as things are good, and he holds up to his end of the bargain. I've actually talked to people like this about this. And as soon as things don't work out the way they thought, they turn their back. They weren't true followers. They weren't true pursuers. You see, many times people are afraid to passionately pursue Jesus with their lives because they know if they make a commitment like that, they're putting themselves on the line. But that's what Jesus wants. He wants us to be willing to put ourselves on the line for him. You see, in this parable, the man sold everything he had to get the treasure. But what's most important about this story is one word, and that's the word joy. He said he sold all that he had and bought the field, but it was his joy. He went and sold all that he had and bought the field. Sacrificing everything he had for the treasure brought him joy because he knew what he was getting was worth it. You see, it's not the amount that's important. The focus of the parable is on the joy of sacrificing everything to gain the valuable thing. And the valuable thing is Jesus himself. You see, guys, we get to choose the depth and the degree of our pursuit. Okay? I don't know if any of y'all remember this as you were a kid, but I remember doing this. I'm sure probably many people in this room have. When you liked somebody, you wrote them a note. I like you. And kids, my kids, I don't want y'all to get no ideas on this. I like you. Do you like me? Yes, no, or maybe. Okay? You had a choice to make. This person would give you a choice. I want us to look back at the words of Jesus in Luke 9:23. And like I said, this is my most favorite verse in the whole Bible, and I don't know why. But it starts off with a word, and that word is if. One of the smallest words in the dictionary, if, I-F, but this word is so small, but it carries so much weight. Because anytime you see the word if, that means there is a choice to be made, a decision to be made. You see, that word tells us that there is a choice in the matter, and Jesus wants from us, as followers and pursuers of him, a definite no or yes. There are no maybes when it comes to the kingdom, and there are no maybes when it comes to pursuit of him. It's either yes or no. It's either we're all in or we're not. You see, I'm a firm believer when I read this scripture. I believe in John 3:16 all the way. Because John 3:16 is about belief. It's about believing. But Luke 9:23 is about the following. Can I tell y'all that we got to put the two together? I mean, we can believe all day, but we got to be following. We got to be willing to lay down our life and say no to us sometimes. We got to be willing to deny ourselves and pick up a cross. Not in the literal sense, but guys, can I tell you something about a cross? And we're fixing to celebrate Easter and resurrection. That was painful for Jesus. And can I tell you that sometimes carrying a cross can be painful? That sometimes you're going to have a splintered back. Sometimes it's going to hurt. Sometimes it's going to get heavy and you're going to want to lay it down. Young people, you're going to want to go to school and you're going to want to lay it at the door. Go live how you want to live and come back out and pick it up again. That ain't the way it works. Okay? Sometimes that cross gets heavy. But as followers, we're required to do it. We have to do it. They go hand in hand, belief and follow. But Jesus does not want our maybes. He wants a yes or no from us on how deep and how far we'll go with him. Passionately pursuing Jesus is your choice, but he makes it clear to us what we're agreeing to if we respond to his invitation. He will settle for nothing less than to be the love and pursuit of your life. That's what he wants. He wants your love. He longs for you to passionately pursue him. Remember what pursuit means. It means to go after. It means no matter what, I'm going to go after him. I'm going to get close to him. I'm going to spend time with him. I'm going to get to know him better. You see, there should be nothing else in the world that we want more than him. The craziest, and I talked about my pursuing my wife earlier. The craziest come after story of all time is when God put on flesh, came to this earth, and died in our place. That's love. He pursued us. 1 John 4:19 says that he loved us first. He is in love with us. And all he wants is for us to be in love with him. I'm going to close right here. Okay? I'm going to tell y'all another little story, then we're going to be done. About 3 years ago, I was a mess. I wasn't doing anything bad other than being a grumpy husband and a grumpy dad because I was hurting. And I put myself there. I chose that place because I made some decisions to go do some things that probably I wanted to do. And that was go help somebody. It caused me some pain. It caused me some hurt. It caused me some things to the point that I was that close to walking away from all of it, except for my family. And we started coming here. And I thank God every day for this place. Because this is where we found healing, at a place called The Well. But I got invited to go to DMC camp. And I tell people all the time that I probably needed that trip more than the kids did. Because it was while I was there, I was asking a question to God. And that question was, will I ever get to do this again? And for days while I was there, I struggled with that question. And I don't know what happened, but one day that word pursuit was to start rolling in my mind. And I repented of what I was feeling. And I repented of my hurt, and I repented of my selfishness. And I said, Lord, if I never preach again, the one thing that I will go after is you. That's all I want. If I never preach again, if I never minister again, you're all I want. And I meant that. And you talk about being healed, and you talk about a load being lifted off of me. And I'm going to tell you, God's faithful. Because I consider this the greatest thing in the world right here, what I'm getting to do tonight, is just minister and just talk and share my heart with you. But all it took was me repenting and saying yes to him again. And just letting him do a work in my life. You see, we should love him like a groom would love his bride. Your honeymoon with him should never be over. And our fire for him should never be gone. I just want to passionately pursue him the rest of my life. That's all I want. And if I never preach again, I just want his presence. That's the only thing I want. And I'm going to finish with this last scripture. I didn't give the guys in the booth this, but Psalm 63:8 says, my soul, this is David talking, he says, my soul followeth hard after thee. Well, what is he saying? He says, with passion I pursue and I cling to you. I hold on to you for dear life. I want to encourage us tonight. Hold on to Jesus for dear life. Pursue him with everything within you. And I want to leave you this one last thought. It's not until we say no to us and yes to him that we can truly pursue and follow him. So deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow him. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this night. I thank you again for the opportunity to share my heart tonight. And I just hope, Lord, that it opened our eyes or changed somebody or just helped somebody in their pursuit of you, Lord. That, Lord, when they mess up, it's okay. When they fall, it's okay. When they make mistakes, it's okay. All they have to do is find you again and get that fire burning again. So, Lord, just go with us tonight as we leave here. Help each one of us to passionately pursue you every day, Lord, to give our lives to you. And Lord, we thank you. We praise you tonight for all that you're doing in this place. We love the well and we love its people. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.